Welcome to the Invest Smarter podcast, where you'll learn about the power of building wealth through real estate and how you can achieve financial freedom through multifamily investing. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions, How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. Now, here's our host, Simon Castillo.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Friday Look Back episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. I'm your host, Simon Castillo, and this is my opportunity to provide you with my best insights into the world of real estate investing, business, and entrepreneurship. And today is a very special Good Friday edition of the Friday Look Back. So hopefully everyone out there will have a fantastic and relaxing and joyous Easter weekend. And what I want to do today is dip into our listener mailbag and answer a question. And today's question comes from Robert, who's asking, hey, I'm saving some money each month and I want to set up a passive income stream through rental properties. Is now a good time to buy a rental property? So I think that's a great question. And I think it's a question that's a lot of people's minds right now. You know, and if you listen to the show, you know that I honestly believe that real estate should be the end goal of every entrepreneur, no matter what field they're in. So I don't care, you know, if you start super small, if you have a tech company, if you have a service-based company, if you have a moving company or a storage company, you know, I really don't care what business it is you start. Real estate and its passive income capabilities and its tax advantages are just absolutely unmatched. So in real estate, there's a couple of different things that I think make it, you know, truly amazing. Number one is depreciation. So you buy these assets, you get to depreciate them every single year. About 4 to 5% of the value gets of the property value, you get to write off against your taxes. Then there's the appreciation. So the fact that this real estate is getting more valuable over time, it's getting maybe, you know, 3 to 5% more valuable every single year. And then the fact that you get to enjoy this depreciation and appreciation on the 100% of the real estate value, but you only have to put 20% or so down and the bank is going to pay for and finance the rest of it. So you're putting 20% down, but you're enjoying appreciation and depreciation on all of it. And that's a truly amazing thing. Now, it does take some capital, you know, to get into real estate. You have to have that 20% down payment. So not everyone's going to be competing for real estate properties, but there's a substantial amount of people out there that are also looking. As an investor, you're competing against homeowners and traditional homeowners. And that's the bulk of where, you know, properties are bought and sold is for, you know, traditional homeowners. But if you can find a property that's priced correctly, you can definitely massively accelerate your wealth by doing that. Now, I'm not a master by any means. I was lucky enough when I purchased my first property to have bought it in a location where the growth in San Antonio was moving to. But for the people out there that are looking to understand how to buy a property, you know, I would recommend there's tons of books out there. There's tons of podcasts in addition to this one, just unlimited amounts of ways for you to educate yourself and to really help you get started. Now, another amazing thing about real estate is the fact that when you sell it, if you've owned it for more than a year, then you pay capital gains taxes on it and not income tax. So instead of being taxed at your higher income tax rate, you're taxed at the lower capital gains tax rate. And again, that's just another amazing reason to own real estate. Okay, so that's in a nutshell, you know, some reasons why I really love real estate. But let's get to the question here about whether to buy a rental property. So in general, as much as I love real estate, I think right now real estate is a really, really tough market to get into. I'm not saying that it's impossible. I do want to warn you or caution you if you're thinking about going online onto Zillow or Realtor.com and buying a rental property, getting renters in there, and then, you know, cash flowing, making some passive income. Well, it's super competitive right now. The economy has been booming for several years. Even given the higher interest rates and threats of recession over the last couple of years, the economy is still going strong. I mean, you see it, we still have inflationary pressures. So for that little bit of extra cash that you might have sitting on the side, there's lots of other people that are asking themselves the exact same thing that you're asking right now. Typically, real estate will be the first passive income stream that most people with some kind of savings will explore. Now, in today's environment, economic environment, it's still relatively easy to borrow money, even with higher interest rates. Now, historically, rates where they're at today, which is in the low 6%, maybe high 5%, those are still historically low given where rates are today. The real estate market is still very competitive. There's still lots of people out there looking to buy properties. So what does that do? Well, you have a bunch of people out there who are not real estate professionals. They don't know how to analyze deals. They don't know how to make sure that they're going to be profitable. So really, you have a bunch of relative rookies competing for properties. And that's going to make it harder and harder to find deals. Now, again, it's not going to mean that it's impossible. Don't get me wrong. I'm just trying to be cautionary. There's nothing at all wrong in analyzing and finding deals and making it happen, but it's just hard. Right now, from my experience, what I've seen is that it's very difficult to find a property that's listed on a website that you can put 20% down and then find a renter and bring them in and then really cash flow on a net positive basis. And I'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. Some cities right now are just simply way overpriced because of, you know, a variety of different factors. And when I say some cities, I'm mainly talking about the larger cities here in the US. So I'm talking about the Bostons, the DC area, the New York City, San Francisco. And then when you look around the world, you know, Toronto, London, these cities are experiencing massive influx of foreign money that is purchasing and sitting on real estate. Now, these foreign investors are, you know, basically dumping their excess funds into American real estate because they don't know where else is as safe as U.S. real estate to invest their money. So what I don't want to do is I don't want to compete against these people. And what I mean by that is I don't want to compete against all the relative rookies that are out there looking for deals. And I don't want to compete against foreign investment money. I don't want to compete against, you know, large corporation money. What I want to do is I want to be able to find properties where it's a smaller pool of buyers. So it's a huge risk factor, I think, when you are in a super competitive market, because anybody can go on Zillow and start looking at properties and say, oh, you know, look at this $300,000 house. I can make $1,500 a month and rent it. Then, you know, they try to analyze it, they buy it, and then they rent it out. But they don't do the full calculations of what it's really costing them on these properties. And also, you know, basically by the time that it's on Zillow, you're already competing with thousands of other buyers for that one particular property. Again, I like buying properties when I'm one of a handful of buyers, and it's more valuable to me than it is to any of the other buyers. And what that means is that the property could be distressed. So you have, you know, maybe an owner who's in foreclosure. That's a form of distress. Or maybe you have a property that's in disrepair and the owner doesn't want to have to pay for expensive repairs. Well, that is a distressed property. And your pool of buyers shrinks many times when properties are under distress. So competing in a large pool of buyers is another risk factor that you have to be aware of. So back to the question again, what do I recommend if you have a little bit of money set aside and you want to get into real estate? Well, first of all, you need to create cash flow projections. You need to create month-to-month cash flow projections with your property, and you have to include taxes, your maintenance costs, utilities, lawn care, all of the expenses that are related to owning a house. Insurance is a huge expense. And I think that one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're analyzing properties is they look at potential rent. So they think they're going to rent a property for $1,500. They compare that to their mortgage, which is principal and interest. And then they deduct the two, and that's what they think their cash flow is. But they haven't taken into account utilities, property taxes, insurance, all of the other expenses that go with owning a property. And all of a sudden, when you add those in on a monthly basis, well, they're upside down. They're negative cash flow. So if you can do that, if you can create cash flow, really good, accurate cash flow projections, then you really will be able to stand out and compete with fewer people. Again, you shrink that pool of buyers rather than being in a pool of, you know, thousands of people looking on Zillow, you know, shopping for a property. So in essence, what I'm saying is when you shrink that pool of buyers, what you're doing is you're trying to find ways to buy a property off market. So before it hits the market is your best opportunity to land a truly, truly good deal. The problem with that is that for most people, there's a ton of work that's involved in finding an off market property. And for most people, they're not willing to do the work. But if you are, that could really put you in a position where, you know, you could land one or two really, really good deals, but you got to do a little bit of work. You got to do some, you know, maybe you have to do some guerrilla marketing where you actually are going out and you're finding people who are willing to list their house, sell their house without first putting it on the market so that you are the only buyer that they're talking to. And you have to have a little bit of skill. You have to, again, education is going to be key. But if you can find ways to be a problem solver, find solutions to people's real estate problems, maybe they have tax liens or homeowners association liens, you know, some sort of liens on their property that are a little bit of a mess to clean up. But if you know how and you have the skills to do that and you become educated, those types of properties can be literal gold mines. Maybe you can find an investment partner, someone that you can partner with. Maybe you can find the deals and they provide the cash so you can buy with all cash. And that can also get you into foreclosures. Or you can go around putting, you know, those we buy houses signs around town. I know that's depending on your municipality, you may want to check on the legality of putting those signs up. But that is just an example of guerrilla type marketing, you know, getting your name out within a real estate network in your town that you are a buyer of real estate and that you can close quickly if you can buy a house at a good price. You know, another example is maybe you can learn a trade and you can fix up the homes yourself. These are just a few ways that you can stand out amongst other buyers. If you can find real estate and compete against fewer buyers, you know, that's just another way. Maybe starting a business that leads into a specific asset class. You know, start a business that leads into warehousing. Or maybe you start a moving company where you end up filling up a warehouse with stuff and leasing a warehouse. And the next thing you know, you understand warehousing and you go into that type of asset class because you really understand it. Or maybe you're a distributor and you're going to have a warehouse with spaces where semi-trucks, you know, back up and you're moving things around all the time. And maybe your service business can lean into that and you learn that asset class and then you can get into that asset class. So what it all boils down to, and really all I'm trying to do is say that you have to try to get some form of a competitive advantage over the thousands of buyers out there that are looking for properties. You want to buy assets that as soon as you buy them, they're more valuable than the day before you bought them. You know, you try to find things where you're competing with fewer buyers, try to find pieces of property where you are the only potential buyer, or you may be the only person who could potentially buy that property because you are the person that can solve that seller's problem. That's exactly what happened when I bought my second investment property, where I happened to find someone who was a distressed seller. They had fallen behind on their payments, and I was able to come in and solve their problem in terms of being able to sell their house quickly and get out from under their payment and also save their credit. So when you are a problem solver, you can find ways to help a seller with their real estate problem that just opens up so many opportunities for you as a buyer. So these are just some ways that you can find really great deals by limiting the buyer pool and by letting it be more valuable to you than it is to anybody else. So again, I am by no means a master of all of this stuff. There's tons of great resources out there. These are just some thoughts that I had from my personal experience. And you don't necessarily have to take everything that I say at face value, but I really encourage you to do your own research, do your own reading, study real estate, start to study the asset classes that you might be interested in. And maybe it is single family homes, maybe it's Section 8 housing, or maybe it's some other asset class like storage or warehousing or distributions or retail. There's just so many different real estate asset classes. Just start to learn one of them. You know, maybe it's construction. Maybe you're going to build real estate and develop it if that's what you're interested in. Maybe you can go to work for a general contractor or a construction company or a company that finances construction so that then you can learn all about the financing behind it and spreadsheets and how to analyze it. There's also opportunities to go to work for a private equity firm that specializes in real estate investment trusts. They put together huge deals that go buy real estate in different asset classes. You know, these are just different ways for you to get started. You don't just have to have a sum of money and go out and buy the first property you see. You know, if you get started, say, in property management, or if you get started in warehouse center management or any of this stuff, it can really lead you down a path of eventually getting into real estate, which I think is the right call. But educate yourself. There's tons of great books out there, tons of great podcasts. Don't take what I say by any means as something to scare you away from buying a rental property in your town. These are just some things that you need to be aware of, some risk factors, and some things that you should have caution with. Again, not saying it's impossible. I think you can very well find really, really great deals out there. Just be careful. So that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks as always. We'll see you next time. But before I leave, just wanted to ask you once again, if you know someone who's trying to get into real estate, would love to get educated, share this episode with them. I think this is a great way for people to start getting educated and help spread the message of what this show is trying to do, which is help people build generational wealth. As always, if you have a few seconds, leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It just goes a tremendous way to continue to grow the show and to attract the type of guests and content that you as a listener and audience want to and need to listen to. So thanks again for stopping in to this episode of the Friday Look Back. Hope everyone has a great holiday weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the Invest Smarter podcast, the show that educates you so that you can take control of your financial future. Be sure to rate the show 5 stars and leave us a review. Make sure that you're subscribed so that you automatically receive the newest edition of the podcast when it's released. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate and taking control of your financial future, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions: How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. And be sure to sign up for our mailing list to receive exclusive investment opportunities straight to your inbox. It's time to invest smarter. That's sastexascapital.com.